the contextual appointment. Now let's go back to Titus chapter 1. And I want you to look, and we're going to look at another scripture here in just a moment. Verse 5 says, Paul speaking to Titus, and he says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting or lacking, and ordain poieo, that's it. That's the best way to, I'm getting close. that you would appoint, ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." And then he's going to list the qualifications. Now we're also going to give you a scripture in Acts 14 where Paul said that he went through and he appointed as his custom elders in every city. What you need to understand is this: the ordination of eldership is not a ministry call. It's not. It's an appointment by the fivefold or the pastor. In other words, let's see, how can I get this over to you? This would not be a perfect illustration. There'd be things lacking in it because most illustrations are not perfect. But it's like this. I'll say this. You know how that we're about to elect a president and he becomes the president, he or she becomes the president. Okay, when they go into office, they don't, you don't elect their joint chiefs of staff. They select them themselves based on their discretion or based on the qualities that they see in those particular individuals, male or female. Those are not elected positions. That is up to the, that's he or she's, him or hers, privilege to appoint people to carry out certain obligations for the United States of America, and that's one of the privileges of being a president. That is appointing, according to Scripture, ordaining elders. Elders are not a called ministry position. In other words, God, their call did not come directly from God. It came via the pastor looking and setting an order and saying, I believe based on, now, don't get me wrong, God's involved in it. In this sense of the word, the pastor must pray like Jesus did. Now, but Jesus' appointment was to those men who had a fivefold call. Their ordination was different. In other words, this, it's not necessary. It's absolutely not necessary, and this is where ministries miss it, to have an ordination service for elders, as we understand elders, and as I'm explaining it here. Titus's role, Paul said, look, as I picked you and as I appointed you, here's Paul's prerogative. Here's what he got to do. Paul, as the apostle, said, Titus, you're the pastor on Crete. Now, it's up to you to pick who you will as elders in the church. So it wasn't a call that came straight from God to these guys, because there's no ministry call for elders. But the pastor, or Titus, picked as he would, as he saw the quality. And Paul told him what qualifications should be in these elders. And there's other scripture. I don't know if we're time this morning, if we'll get to those. But the other one was Acts 14, 23. That might be one that you want to put down. And the other one is 1 Timothy, and we'll turn there. There's a place there in 1 Timothy, I think it's chapter 3, that we want to look at. But it all continues to build on this, that elders do not have a ministerial call. That's not, and they are not called by God. They're appointed by the pastor. They're appointed by the pastor. Okay, everybody got that so far? Okay, good. Hallelujah. So there, actually, you could think of it this way. So I'm trying to get this over to you. You say, well, there's that word ordination is there. That's right. But based on contextual evidence, there's actually two types of ordination. There's the ordination that deserves a separation, like when they had fasted and prayed, they said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas were ordained and separated unto the gospel. They were separated unto the gospel. And that's a separation of ordination as those that have the call, the ministerial call on their life. This ordination is just a recognition. The ordination of elders is a recognition or an appointment to help carry out certain things in the church. And in this, there really is absolutely, you don't find in this that there's the need for a public. See, there's elders in here this morning, men and women, that you are what you are. You're just an elder because you are an elder. And there'll never be an appointment set up like a recognition because you're already appointed. You're already, because of my references to you at times as this person or that lady or that man, they're serving in a certain capacity, not serving it as a ministerial call. They may have a ministerial call, but it's not eldership. Okay, this is good. So you're learning, okay? But that doesn't deserve, or no, that's not a right word, that doesn't necessitate an ordination. An ordination carries with it whether or not there's a recognition of the fivefold ministerial call. Hallelujah. Are we getting somewhere? I want you to understand this because this is vitally important because we got to stay under the direction of the Lord. One is a direct call by God or Christ being the head of the church. One is an appointment. Everybody say an appointment. One is an appointment that comes from the pastor. The pastor can be led of God, but it is not a direct call from God as in eldership ordination. The appointment or ordination of elders does not carry with it the same type of separation that the ministry calls do. In other words, there is no need to have a service to ordain elders. You are appointed already just by the recognition of what the pastor expects you to do. Okay. So let me move on down here because we want to stay on point. Okay, what I want you to see here in Titus, everybody's back in Titus? Okay, for this cause I left thee, verse 5, on Crete. I want to say this, and this is vitally important because we're building to something and we're going to enjoy something together in just a moment. If you're not qualified in eldership, in other words, we said eldership was not one of the ministerial callings, but it was something that was recognized, but not in the ordination that we understand ordination. Eldership carried with it, the recognition of eldership carried with it a number of different things. Out of Titus here and also of Timothy. But I will say this, if you're not qualified, male or female, for eldership, you're certainly not qualified for the fivefold or for the recognition of the ministerial callings. In other words, if those things are not working in your life, and we're going to read those things in just a moment, that's a vital important thing. Now, we do not have time this morning to discuss, and there is a whole, and I can tell you, this may sound a little bit like, okay, you're jumping over something. We're not. We could go line on line, scripture after scripture, and show you all the scriptures that people use to say women cannot have a ministerial calling. And that is incorrect according to the Word of God. Did I get an amen back there from one of our elders? And that's incorrect. Women can. And we could go line on line and teach that and show you where that's an incorrect. Look, there are some churches that they would rather have the devil himself in their pulpit than have a woman stand up in the pulpit. It's just asinine. It's crazy. It's foolishness if you know the Word of God. If you know the Word of God. And I know that really strikes at the male, the alpha. but it's truth. Okay. I wish we could had time, but we don't. Okay. Because you're going to need, to go to lunch later on. Okay. So let's look at, for this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. If any be blameless, and this is where they get some of this teaching, and I don't have time to talk about this so much. If any man be anyone be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not of riotous. Somebody said, well, how can a woman be called the fivefold if it says the husband of one wife? A lot of what he's saying here is according to customs. And people say, well, the Bible is a Bible, a word of truth. Yes, it is. It is. But it's also truth in customs, in the customs a lot of times. And people say, oh, you're just trying to make an argument. No. If you go to the next chapter, chapter 2, and say to somebody that says, okay, you're just trying to make an argument that it's a customary thing and cause Titus was written to the Isle of Crete, and they were a bunch of rednecks. They were. He tells them, don't be strikers, don't be brawlers. In other words, they like to fight, and they were womenizers, and they were just good old boys. And if you went to the Isle of Crete, you'd just see a whole bunch of pickups on blocks in the front yard and the grass this high, Somebody coming to the front door, what do you want, That was the Isle of Crete, and it wasn't going to fly for him to even write to them anything out of the customs of the day. And somebody said, well, no, it's not. You're just, well, then you take him to the next chapter, in chapter 2, and it says, and let the servants, and the word servant is slave, let the slaves be obedient unto their masters. And if you show somebody and say, well, okay, what about this? How do you think that all slaves in America should be obedient to their masters? And they would probably, if they had any good sense at all, say, well, my God, no, why not? Well, because slavery's done away with. We don't practice slavery. Slavery's wrong. Oh, you're saying that this must be something contextually according to custom. Well, yes. Whoa. Wonderful. Wonderful. So there's a lot in the Bible that is according to custom, and it's written to custom. So here it says this. I like the Bible because it makes me right. Don't you? I like that. If any man be blameless, the husband of one wife, and that doesn't mean that he could have only been married once. Doesn't means that he can only be married to one woman at the time. Somebody says, well, everybody know that. No, everybody don't know that. There's countries that practice different. One, having children not accused of rioting or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless. Now, do you see that he's still talking about eldership and serving under appointment? And I love this. I love this. I love this. Here comes sarcasm. Okay. The word bishop.
Bishop.
Do you know how many churches and denominations have bishops? You know what bishop is? Bishop means the head servant. Just basically, it doesn't have that mystique in the Greek. If you're the head servant, how many of you want to be the head of of nothing? No, I'm saying they are something, but they're not like they've made bishops rulers over a whole bunch of preachers. Watch out. Here comes Bishop. Here comes Bishop Bronk. Here comes Bishop Homer. The word bishop means overseer, and he's talking in contextual value here of those that would oversee, as in elders, or it just is an overseer. It's a helper. He's just a helper. So I like kicking mystiques out of words, you know, and taking the starch out of them. It's a good word, but it's not meant what the 21st century makes it. The bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed. It means they're not real opinionated, self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, not a striker. Well, I hope not. And not given to filthy lucre. In other words, they don't love money, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful words as he's been taught, that they may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. One of we're not talking about eldership being ordained like we're contemplating this morning, but someone would have to absolutely fulfill this type of eldership before they could ever advance to a ministerial calling ordination. So it says here, what did we just read? Everybody stay with me now. Listen. Stay with me. It says this, not soon angry, not self-willed, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful words as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. One of the main things of just an elder in the church is that they have to hold to sound doctrine. And they have to repeat sound doctrine. And they have to repeat. Now, I'm never, ever, ever, ever going to ordain anybody that doesn't agree 150% with everything that I'm preaching as in the foundation. That's just crazy. And the elders, listen, and Jesus helped me to say this correctly. As you mingle among each other in the days ahead as we grow, if you ever esteem any man or woman to be, well, I think they must be an elder the way Pastor treats them or talks to them. If they don't hold to the same doctrine, if they don't repeat, or if they go around to the sheep and say, I don't agree with Pastor, they are disqualifying themselves as an elder based on Titus right here. They're disqualifying themselves. Well, they've been here 47 years. That doesn't matter. If they're not repeating, now, are you a dictator? Do they always have to? Well, they have to agree with the foundation. Well, what if they didn't agree or couldn't see what you're trying to get across to them on any particular issue? Well, then my door's open. Call. Come talk to me. But a disqualification of eldership is anytime you turn to the sheep and say, I disagree with what pastor, that is causing schism in the body, and that is absolutely a disqualification of eldership. An absolute disqualification. Glory be to God for evermore. So, hallelujah. We're doing some good teaching here this morning. God is, God, not me. First Timothy 3. I know we're right here at 12. Gather your flesh back around you now. Gather your flesh. This is a true saying, if any man desire the office of the bishop, do we understand that a little bit different? He desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, good to hospitality, not given to wine, not striker, not greedy, according to filthy lucre. This is Paul saying the same thing he said to Titus, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth his own house well, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Now, here I'm going to tell you, because there's a second part to my consideration of the Plamondons. But just on the eldership level, I can tell you personally, I have watched their lives for 15 years, and they qualify for the eldership level. They qualify for that. Absolutely so. They're not strikers. They've never hit me. They're not self-willed in their children are under subjection to them. Now, I don't know what goes on at home, so I don't need to know. These guys are saying, shh. But they qualify in these regards, and it says, having their children in subjection, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the house of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he shall fall in the condemnation of the devil. That's the same thing the devil was condemned with, is pride. Now listen, the thing I like about Marty and Gay, I like a lot of stuff about them, but I can say this. I don't know that I ever have, but I have an open door, and even after ordination, if I saw that they were teaching something that they didn't mean to, I can go to them and say, privately, this isn't right, and they would look at it, and they would stand corrected. That's their disposition. They have that humility about them. That goes back to our original meeting. We don't care if this is done in private. We'd really rather that it was. And I said, no, because we need to understand what the ordination is of where we're headed for you. Now, I've seen some more stuff here, and it's taking it to the next level for them. But that's the thing I love about Marty. And it's the same thing about Gabe, but Marty is, that's not his ministry. He says, man, it feels like a ministry sometimes. It feels like a lot of work to sit in the sound booth. But if I don't like, well, I've really never had a real problem. I've never had a problem because we're like, but if I ever have something like a song that I don't like that's unscriptural, I can go tell Marty, let's not play that again. And Marty will be fine. He might not have been thinking about it. He might have thought about it, but he's just like, boom, right on spot. But if I went back there and said, Marty, I don't like that song, and he's like, well, you know what? You need to pick somebody else next week. Now, he's not an elder then. He's not an elder. He's holding everything. Like, don't step on what I got to do. That's mine. I wish I could do it like the girl, you know. Cock that head. It's not just in the words. It's the way you cock your head, you know. You just throw that head around. So, but they qualify in their children and the way that they've handled for that level, for the level of the recognition of eldership. Faithfulness, we just looked at stewardship, repeating sound doctrine. These guys are faithful. We're not clannish. We're not cliquish. That's the word, cliquish. I hate cliques. I hate cliques. And nobody earns anything around here. But these are some of the most faithful people I've ever met in my life. And so on that I can say, if they never came to church, and then you know they said, well, is there something that? And see, here's what they ask, and I'll share this, and then we'll finish this up in just real short here. I said, why? And they said, well, there is one, we feel like, and it wasn't a feeling like it. Let's use that. There's better words than feeling. We discern through prayer and through what God is doing in our life that there's a transition taking place, and there's a transition. Now, by the way, they're not leaving. As far as I know, they better not be. They're not leaving, but we feel like there's a transition taking place, and we feel like God is changing our life. And one, now they said this, and I understand this, but this wouldn't be the deciding factor for me. They said we would like the opportunity, based on where we believe God's calling us in the future, to have credentials that would give us opportunity in crisis situations to get back behind the scenes, like as in ICUs and those kinds of things. And that's a truth. Because of my credentials, a lot of times I can get in and walk right past family members. I mean, the husband and wife may be back there, but if a person, I have walked back into some horrible situations, people dying, people been in car wrecks. I've been in the room a number of different times in my life where people died right there while I was there, but I was back there when there was a whole crowd of family members sitting out there and couldn't get back there to them. So they said we would like the opportunity, because we just know that God is calling us to go in and to pray and to see the work of the ministry take place in that regards. The other thing was too is that they felt, and again felt, they discerned that God would be using them in a ministerial call in the days ahead that would give them the opportunity to speak in other places. There were already things that the Lord were showing them, and people coming to them that were giving them the opportunity to speak in other places and represent what we teach here. And they felt like that as an opportunity, when these opportunities arose, that they would have the opportunity to say, yes, there is a formal recognition of what our ministerial call is, and that's where we're headed. Now, let me talk about this for just a moment. Normally, my disposition would be that a ministerial call or being a fivefold would be a full-time, and I think I can, we don't have time according to the Word of God, but I think I can back that up. It'd be a full-time ministerial call. Paul did for a season work with his hands while he ministered. I'll give my own personal testimony. I pastored this church for about 5 years. So 20 years, I've really been pastoring this church for about 25 years, because I pastored this church for about 4 or 5 years, driving back and forth to from Fort Myers, and I was working because there wasn't enough people to support me or even to put that burden on them, and God hadn't launched me yet, but I was doing that, but I had a ministry call on my life to be the pastor of this church. And eventually, it worked into that. Eventually, it evolved, by the grace of God, into a full-time ministry. Now, let me just say just a few things, because this is very, very important, very important. And this will teach you about where we're headed with them and why we get to do what we're going to do. Let me use Homer as an example, okay? What is Homer? Nobody knows, do you? Rosie don't even know what Homer is. Now, he's what? He's hungry. He always hungry. Homer is, present tense, serving. He's one of the elders, obviously, but Homer does, according to, and I know this, I just know this, I mean, if I know anything, I know this, he has a ministerial calling of pastor, okay, pastor/teacher, So when I said that there couldn't be, like, you know, these churches that have the pastor of the this and the pastor of that and the pastor of that, it's not that there can't be more than one person at a location who has the fivefold ministry call of pastor. There can only be one, the pastor, only one, and that any appointment that it would ever come. Now, Homer's present situation is he's really full-time, and for a number of years, even prior to him coming full-time, I knew that he had a full-time call on his life. He's actually ordained through Pastor Dave, and that was according to, a big part of that was according to my recommendation. And I said, Pastor Dave, we need to ordain this man. I can tell you about him. And so that was, but if Homer ever for any reason, and I can't think of one really, but needed an ordination from this ministry, I'd be the first one to do it because he has that fivefold call. Now, I see him as this, even in years gone by when we, it may have been a misnomer, and it may have been a proper misnomer at the time. What's a misnomer? It's a misnaming. Misnaming something is a misnomer. But when we, in the times gone by, we said, well, years gone by, he's the youth pastor. Well, really, there's no such thing as the youth pastor. He was leading the youth, and that was the direction. But he does have a pastoral call. Do you understand that? He has a pastoral call, and he has a teaching call. And so at the time, now he's no longer serving the youth. But at that time when he was, by the word of God, he was not the youth pastor. He was a pastor or called as a pastor, and he was serving in that particular department, okay? So it's important. You say, well, why is it important? Well, it's important that we, I don't want you to get in a legalistic sense, okay? Here's where this is the main thing. Like, say, for instance, I'm using Homer as an example. He has a ministerial call, and what is that ministerial call? It's a pastor, but he's serving as an elder. All elders that ever come, listen, all positions that ever come in the church underneath the pastor are appointed positions. It doesn't matter, even if they have a ministerial call, it's the prerogative of the pastor to appoint those. They can't be voted in. Somebody else can't say, well, I think you need to put that. It's the prerogative of the pastor to appoint those particular positions. Now, for us that are mature, if somebody says Pastor Homer to him, he doesn't rebuke you, and I don't rebuke you either. We understand that Homer's got a pastoral call, but we understand he's not the pastor of the church. For the young ones coming in that wouldn't understand, we have to protect, just in this whole thing, a misnaming or misnomers, not in a legalistic way, but just in an understanding way. There's only one pastor ever in a church as far as the pastor, but there can be other ministerial calls. Homer could go to pastor a church himself because he has that ministerial call of a pastor. So have everybody got that straight so far? The qualifications of ministry for Rex and Marcia, they are not full-time per se, but I believe that they're headed, possibly. They have a ministry of helps. That's one of their callings. But they're gone like sometimes two Sundays a month. And they're not just, you know, at the beach somewhere. I hope not. They will be corrected if they are, unless it's a plan. Sometimes they're gone for a week or two at the time. They are embedded in very hostile situations where they're ministering to motorcycle gangs. I have no problem saying that they have an evangelistic call. I have no problem. I mean, that when you give as much of your life, two or three weekends a month sometimes, and going into hostile environments, now, are they serving as elders in the church? Yes, they're elders in the church. Is that their ministry call? No, it's not their ministry call. That's not a ministry call. Their ministry call is the way that they would be ordained is under my seeing them as a full-time or headed towards a full-time ministry or working in an evangelistic call. Amen. You see that? I believe, and I've spent time in prayer on this, just Marty and Gay saying we want to get behind the scenes, that wouldn't have been enough for me, because God will get you behind the scenes, because I don't want any of you thinking, well, if I can't get ordained, I'm not going to get behind the scenes. God will get you behind the scenes if you need to. And besides for that, if you can pray, you can sit out in the lobby and get as much done if you can pray, if you know how to pray, okay? So that would not be good enough. Where they are headed and what they've explained to me as in where the ministerial call, and I'm not sure now, they both served here at times, Marty more often, as in handling the word. There were elders, even in the elder call, that handled the word. Some, it says, give honor where honor is due, especially those who labor in the word. There were elders that handled the word. These are elders, and Gay has handled the word as well. What I'm trying to tell you is this. I believe they're headed towards, based on what they're telling me, and they also, I don't know if they remember this, and I would have really encouraged them to go back. About 4 or 5 years ago, Gary Carpenter gave them a prophecy, and I think it was right over here, and I was listening to it, and Gary Carpenter was saying to them, by the Spirit of the Lord, he didn't understand it. He didn't know what he was saying. They didn't know, and I didn't know, and I was like, wow. And Gary said, we talked to him later about it, and he said, I don't know. He said, you know, I just gave it like I, you know, what I heard. And the Lord began to describe that in the days ahead, and here was the amazing part. He says, you're always going to be, you need to know, you always need to be a part of what's going on here. Stay as far as being a part of what's going on here, but God's going to change your ministry in the days ahead. And I thought, as I was praying last night and this morning, I thought, wow, God, is this not a direct correlation with where they may be headed in the future? Because just getting behind the scenes at the hospital is not enough. Certainly ordaining them as elders. If you're an elder this morning, you're an elder, okay? And you don't need public recognition, okay? You don't need this kind of service. But I believe that something's taking place in their life. And I believe that they're headed towards something that very possibly could unfold in the days ahead to something full-time. I don't know. But I do believe that the qualifications Gay has for years taught. She's a few times maybe taught here, but taught our kids next door. Now, that's not necessarily the teaching ministry that most people think, but I'm telling you this. A lot of times people think that unless they've got this pulpit, that they're not a teacher. But God is grooming sometimes somebody for their future ministry. Amen? So with that, on that basis, I feel good in their qualifying for a ministry call and going forward for ordination. Now, I'm going to put one other thing in here. I'm going to put one other. There's those two primarily, and this person was commandeered. In other words, they were made to, but not against their will in a loving way. And I did not mention this earlier because Homer would have not been for it. And I am going to simultaneously ordain Miss Candy, my wife. Okay. And the reason being is this, and I could take you to Timothy, 1 Timothy, and Paul talks about the sanctification of the woman as in regards to their ministry, and he gives that scripture, and they will be saved, and the word saved is sanctified in their childbearing. Well, Pastor Dave used to get us every year. He'd say, you women know you can't be saved unless you've bore children. And everybody go, what? And he would go in and break that down and say, a woman can have a viable ministry and do anything that a man can as long as she's subject to her husband. Well, I can tell you, I've got the best wife in the world. And the reason why that I convinced her, she said, no, I don't want to do that. I said, no, I really want you to, because a lot of times, listen, she's tough as nails. She's sweet as candy, but she's tough as nails. I've had her go in with me She's watched people die. She's watched people. She's come into situations where people were dead. Horrible accidents. Different situations. She doesn't break down under pressure. She's not a weepy crying. She may cry afterwards in a compassionate way, but she's tough as nails. Personally, I'm telling you. Now I know a lot of people, men and some women, that more scripturally maybe have more doctrine, but she's the best Christian I know. Yes, sir. The best Christian as far as loving people. She doesn't talk about any of you, yes, sir, to me. She doesn't criticize any of you to me. She doesn't have a backbiting tongue. She's just the best of the best, I think. And so Homer, and I said Homer wouldn't want it, but what I'm saying that is they're so close. They're like brother and sister. They just fight every day in a good way. And so I want her, a lot of times when I get to a hospital and I go into a situation, you know, we have to kind of clarify, okay, and sometimes she can get back and sometimes she can't. Once you're ordained, you can go straight through a lot of times unless they just hold you back for some reason. So with all that said, I'm going to ask Marty and Gay to come, and I'm going to ask my wife, Candy, to come. Homer and Rosie and Rex and Marsha, I'd like for you to come. And so we're going to, and then the rest of you, yes? Yes, you can, please. Just come and stand and face me. Yeah, put that up there. For those of you watching, we're having a little bit of adjustment here. Now, go ahead. You guys kind of just stand and look this way. We have some certificates that I'm going to give them in just a moment. This may not be best for camera, but you guys can slide over here, okay? Come on over here. Yeah. Thanks. Now, the rest of you, if you'd please stand. And I'm going to ask some of our other leaders or elders. I'm not going to take the time to point you out, but please, you've been with us forever. Please come up here, some of you that just know these people. Stand behind them. Amen. Come on, Barbara. Come on, different ones. Bring Homer over here a little closer. So some of this we discussed, but some of it was revelation even this morning about where I think the two of you are going, because I believe there's appointment more than what we even see right now for the both of you. So it's based on that. That we just have made this consideration and believe that it's the mind of Christ. So I'm going to ask the rest of you to stretch your faith this way. Now, Father, I just thank you and I praise you for Marty and Gay, and I thank you so much for my wife. I thank you for the grace of God in their life, and as I have watched them for 15 years and I have watched their lives, and for 40 years with my wife, I've watched their life. I've watched them on all aspects of general aspect of eldership, and then now even to the promotion of the ministerial callings. And so I'm asking you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to lay your hand upon them. I cannot ordain them. I can only recognize what you from heaven have done in their life and are working in their life. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the power that is invested by the Holy Spirit in our recognition of those things that he has said according to his word, I say, be ordained in Jesus' name. Receive the office of ordination into the ministry callings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be ordained in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, just stay up here for a second, guys. Stay up here. Now the other thing too is we're not gonna start calling them Pastor Gay or Pastor Marty. They are just what they've always been. Okay, all right. That's just so all we're recognizing is what they are, and really where they're headed that gave us the opportunity to make this recognition. But so this is not Evangelist Candy or Pastor Gay or Pastor Marty, but they are ordained today in the ministry. And this certificate of ordination, this certifies that Candace Diane Flint has been set apart and called to the ministry of the gospel. What a cry. the 30th of October in 2016, the Prayer Center of Florida. Congratulations. All right. And Miss Gay Lynn Plamondon, the certifies an ordination, has been set apart and called to the ministry of the gospel on the 30th day of October in the year of 2016 at the Family Prayer Center of Immokalee, and it's signed by your pastor. God bless. Woo-hoo. This certifies that Marty B. Plamondon Jr. has been set apart and called. Boy, that just sounds dignified, doesn't it? Almost like doctor. Called to the ministry of the gospel on the 30th day of October in the year of 2016 at the Family Prayer Center in Immokalee, Florida, signed by your pastor, Bronk Flint. All right. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us and staying with us. And you're blessed. Amen. Go out and be blessed. Hallelujah.